level for the...
What is nothing?
Hey, now that's deep.
What in the fuck are we doing here?
Free socks.
What is something?
That's deep, bro. Welcome to That's Deep, Bro. Serious questions with silly people. I am your host, Christina P. I'm back, dude. I took a little hiatus. I had to, you know, bros, sometimes you gotta do nothing. And I sat down to try to record the show last week, you know, and you're just like, I got nothing. Sometimes you got nothing. Sometimes the only thing you can do is your dishes, you know? Or just do some laundry, or just sit down on the couch and pet the dogs and watch a movie on Netflix, which is what I did, man. And that's all. It's all good. But I'm back and I'm full of ideas, and I've been inspired, and I've been on vision quests, and I'm going to share all of it with you. But first, hey now, do you have a shitty mattress? I hope you don't. But if you do, do me a flav. And buy a mattress with Sattva, S-A-A-T-V-A, mattress company, Sattva. I bought a Sattva mattress about, I think, 3 years ago now, and I loved it so much because, number one, it's ridiculously great quality and very reasonably priced. Why? Because you buy it online, which sounds scary, but it's not. Because... really, when you think about it, when you go to buy a mattress in the store, how much time do you have on it? You have like 3 seconds before some douchebag sales guy comes over and starts harassing you into buying it. So like, trust me, it's a maze. It's made in the United States of America. It's, health and environmentally conscious Sattva mattress. And it's really amazingly priced. Anyways, I liked it so much that I contacted Sattva mattress company myself and asked them if they could sponsor Your Mom's House as well as That's Deep, Bro. That's how much I believe in them. So check them out. Sattva mattress, S-A-A-T-V-A. Also, come see me at the Comedy Store May 27th and May 28th in La Jolla, California. La Jolla, that's fancy San Diego. Also, I'm at the Comedy Store in Hollywood most Saturdays on the early show if I'm not doing a show elsewhere. That early show is like at 7:30 in the original room, and it's so much fun. Oh my gosh, the Comedy Store. It's like been totally revitalized. It's the coolest. I mean, last night alone, Bill Burr was there, myself, Kirk Fox, who's hilarious, Chris D'Elia. You guys know him from television shows, famous people. Bobby Lee's always there. Just so many, so many great. Duncan Trussell. You guys know Duncan. Of course, Joseph Rogan and many more, many more. So really, if you're bored on a Saturday night, go down to the store, man. It's so much fun. And let's see what else. Twitter at Christina P. Also, hey, man, do you shop on Amazon? I hope you do, because I do almost all my shopping now through Amazon, and use my banner on thatsdeepbropodcast.com. Just go there, click on my banner at the bottom of the homepage, and just do your shopping as you normally would. It just kicks back a little bit of change to the show. Okay, let's get to it. Speaking of, let's get to it. So yeah, bros, this week, like I said, I spent a little quiet time. I went into my inner sanctum. I went into my meditation cave, which is just really my shower, I think, is where I do most of my thinking. And I came out with this. I really started thinking about this week. I stumbled upon Patti Smith, of all people. I don't know why I say that. I know she is. If you don't know who Patti Smith is, you gotta check her out. Just Google Patti Smith. She's like one of the fucking OG gangsters punk rock and but her music isn't punk. It's more like the precursor to it because she came around in the 70s, like 76, the year I was born. She was huge. And she has this album called Horses, which is the seminal album that like everybody loves. It's similar to the, you know, Miley Cyrus's latest Bangers with a Z, right? Where a different producer produced every single track. But, you know, it's similar. Patti Smith is similar to Miley Cyrus in that she is hot, right? You got to be hot in the music game now. Every song has to be about doing it. Who doesn't like doing it, right? Let's sing about it. By the way, Rihanna and her new album, there's a song, the last song, where she just goes, "Sex with me is so amazing." That's crazy. Who says that? Who says that sex with them is so amazing? Wow. Anyways, let's open it up. I want to get more into Patti Smith because it goes into a whole other topic, I think, which is the self. And how do we define ourselves? And how do we use technology today to define ourselves and to help other people? I think it's kind of a cool lane. Let's see where this goes. Okay, let's kick it off with Patti Smith doing her fucking amazing thing. Here we go.
Jesus died for somebody's sins, but not mine. Pot of thieves, wild cord on my sleeve, thick heart of stone, my sins my own, they belong to me, me. People say beware,
dude. Gloria. She's cool, right? Patti Smith, she's a little... She's so intense, dude. Like, I've been listening to her for the last couple weeks. She's just super intense. It kind of... it almost makes me uncomfortable, her intensity level. Maybe because she's super emotional, you know? It's kind of the way, like, Tori Amos made me feel in the 90s. I couldn't really... I couldn't do it. Like, I feel like I just start menstruating the minute I listen to this kind of stuff. Like, it... Ow! Too emotional, but wow, what a great line, a great opener. Jesus died. What is it? Jesus died for somebody's sins, but not mine. Oh shit! Now I gotta play it again because Jesus died for somebody's. It's what a great line. Really, I think sums her up. Right? Listen to that. That's a fucking great line. One more time, Patty.
Jesus died for somebody's sins, but not mine.
Woof. Jesus died for somebody's sins, but not mine. Wow. Fucking deep, bro. I like that. I heard that line and I was like, yeah, I'm on board. What else you got, Patti Smith, for me? And I really like that she's so androgynous. If you Google image search Patti Smith, you're not going to find a makeuped, airbrushed, you know, Miley Cyrus-y, Taylor Swift perfect looking woman. You're going to find a very androgynous, very boyish looking woman who doesn't wear just no makeup, you know, and she even now she's aged and she looks like a witch. And it's like, it's so fucking cool. And she dresses almost homeless. Like, I've been looking at interviews with her on the internet, and she just wears like fingerless gloves, knitted fingerless gloves in interviews. And her hair is just ratty and her teeth are so, un-2016, if you know what I mean. They're from the '70s. They're seventies people teeth before we bleached the shit out of them and had them straightened and veneered and perfected. You know, it harkens back to a time when beauty was really a commodity and that not everybody was beautiful. And so when beauty came around, it was like really a big deal, you know? And when Brooke Shields came around, or Mila Jovovich or whatever, it's people were like, holy shit, you're so pretty. Your teeth are naturally that straight. Your skin's amazing. So Patti Smith is this androgynous kind of subversive, very not kind of, but extremely subversive female artist, and kind of weird to come around at the time when our beloved Prince is gone. Oh, I can't believe he's dead. It's so horrible that Prince is gone for so many reasons. I mean, number one, look, the time of the weirdo is gone. That era of musician, of David Bowie's and the Prince's, the feminine male, it's I don't know if it's totally gone, but it's definitely it's not there as much as with Prince and with Bowie. But I mean, Prince, come on, forget it. We could do 20 episodes on that guy and his legacy and his immense talent, and who didn't learn about masturbation through that song Darling Nikki? If you didn't learn about sex through Purple Rain, we can't be friends. I mean, I remember like buying that album as maybe like 8 years old. And this is before parental advisory lyrics were splattered on everything. And there was hysteria about what children could and couldn't listen to. And I mean, I watched Purple Rain in the movie theater with my dad. And I remember Apollonia's tits and Lake Minnetonka or whatever the hell. And just it blowing my mind that there were boobs in a movie, first of all. And that this little man in heels riding a motorcycle was considered a heterosexual sex symbol. Which brings me to my point that when you look at someone like a Prince, who objectively, let's keep it 100 here, wasn't a typically handsome, you know, 6'3" built, yoked out bro, he was kind of a squirrely, effeminate, petite,
tiny, adorable, little purple leprechaun.
But he sold it to us that he was sexy. He made you think he was sexy. He oozed sex appeal. Right? I mean, how the fuck he convinced all of us that we wanted to sleep with him? And he wrote songs about sex. That was his lane, love and sex and heartbreak, which, by the way, I mean, apparently he had a very tragic life. If you Wikipedia that guy, holy moly, a lot of loss, a lot of death. He lost a 1-week-old baby. And some great loves of his life gone. I mean, he never talked about that stuff, but wow, talk about a lot of pain and a lot of overcoming pain. But which leads me to my stream of consciousness this week, which was to the invention of the self, the recreation of the self. And David Bowie was excellent at that too. I think we had an episode here. We talked about synchronicity with Carl Jung, and I had my friend Mark on here, and who's a psychotherapist, and he was talking about how David Bowie inhibited. What's the word I'm looking for? I was like, guys, I don't sleep ever. Inhabited different archetypes in different times of his life, and then the last album, but we essentially, it was his swan song. It was the death of, you know, the death card, whatever. And yeah, archetypes, people, invention of the self. And I came across this wonderful, wonderful interview with Patti Smith. And it's in 1976, and she's very young and very androgynous and very, oh shit, don't tell me I closed this motherfucking window. I have to find the interview again. But she's really, really in it, you know, and people are really in, oh, here she is, very, very into her art and very into being Patti Smith. And so here's a few minutes of this interview that kind of blew my mind a little bit and got me down this wormhole that we're going to go down. Here we go.
Oh,
make sure my volume's up. Here's Patti Smith in Stockholm in 1976.
I like Bob Marley.
Bob Marley.
I think is real sexy. I like Blue Oyster Cult.
Blue Oyster
Television.
Cult. Television.
I like Leo Fender for inventing the Fender guitar.
Bob Dylan, obviously.
Bob Dylan's a sexy guy. He's all right.
What does freedom mean to you?
Freedom is inside of me. It means that I'm not hung up with, like, anybody's idea of how I should be. You know, I'm outside of society. I'm an artist. Rock and roll is my art. I'm a nigger of the universe. And I'm free because I can leap up and scream. I can put my fists up in the air. I don't give a shit, you know. I'm not afraid of death. You know, it's like, you know, I'm not afraid of anything except for fear itself. I mean, that to me is the greatest thing to fear, is fear itself, collapse of the imagination. Otherwise, I feel pretty good. My father was sort of a beatnik, and he believed in, the one thing my father believed more than anything else was the development of the country of the mind. He believed that the mind was a country and you had to develop it. You had to build and build and build and build the mind. That was his whole philosophy, is the development of the mind. My mother believed in the development of the heart, and I believed in the development of the hands. So between the three of us, hand, heart, and head, they're all H's, H-H-H. H-H-H, that's good, hand, heart, and head.
I think about liberation, stuff, liberation of yourself. There's like the huge liberation game. A lot of people are walking around saying how free they are, and, you know, saying all these dangerous sex words to demonstrate.
Yeah, but if you talk about anything too much, you know, if you spend too much time defining what you do or telling people that you're free or being defensive about your freedom, obviously you're not free.
Right.
You know, it's like anytime you have to push things down people's throat. I mean, I don't try to seduce. I do what I do. 10 people come, 10 million come, great. What I do, I believe in, you know? It's like liberation and all, there's a lot of movements, whether it was like beatniks, hippies, women's lib, they're all just new political structures. They're all new dogma. They're just, to me, as soon as, we want to initiate change, but as soon as you get it, you structure your change, as soon as you start writing patter, as soon as you write some political order, you write dogma, you're right there with Catholicism. You're right there with communism. Anytime you start stating this, this, and this, rules and regulations, you're no longer liberated. You're just like a new political game, whether it's religious, you know, spiritual, whatever, social.
It's all like the Doors song, Break On Through to the Other Side.
Yeah, and then after you break on through to the other side, then you break on through to the other side, and the other side, and the other side. And our point is that you spend your whole life keep breaking on through. You can't just break on through once and think, well, I've made it, I broke through. There's a million membranes to break through. There's a million places to go, you know. You move to another direction, another dimension, big deal. We went to the moon, big deal. We went to Mars, big deal. We keep moving and moving and moving. You know, Muhammad went through seven heavens. Big deal. I want to see the eighth heaven, tenth heaven, thousandth heaven. You know, it's like break on through the other side. It's just like going through one door. One door isn't enough. A million doors aren't enough. You have to go beyond one reflection, beyond the mirror, beyond.
Yeah, dudes. Did you get deep on that, bro? Yeah, I saw that and I was like, what is this broad talking about? And then I was like, I kind of get it. The constant evolution, right, of one's consciousness, the importance of developing one's consciousness, the importance of a developed mind, right? That's something we talk about on this show a lot. But what really, really tickled my taint with Patty's little diatribe here, which I really liked, was the idea of, she's trying to be free, which really, I don't know if that's even possible when you live in a society, when you live with influences, but like the idea, especially in the 70s, was huge that you could be free and you could live outside of the societal structures. What they tell you to do. What is it to be a woman? What is it to be a man? What is it to be a person? Yeah. And I love that she says she's not afraid of death. The only thing she's afraid of is fear itself, which is really, really, isn't that just the essence of it all, is being afraid of the fear. That's like all of human, not all of the drama, but a huge chunk of it. But I love the idea of the invention of the self, of forcibly liberating one's mind from existing structures of the bullshit. And boy, you take one look at Patti Smith and you know this broad does not buy into a lot of the horse shit of the day. And that I'm just talking about her appearance. You're like, yeah, she gets it. She's her own pony. That's for sure. And so on the heels of this idea, also, it's so bizarre that this just came in this morning. The topic, somebody writes, self-love, how girls are constantly comparing and putting themselves down. Just that topic. And who better to kind of lead us into this is a Patti Smith. And it's really interesting because in this time that we live in, where technology has sort of liberated people to a whole new level where you can, you're not just subjects. You're not only looking at images that the dominant media source puts out. You know, there used to be 10 channels that I watched growing up, 2, 4, 5, 7, 9, 11, 13. And the newspapers, the handful of newspapers and magazines in existence. And that's where you got your images from. And that's where you got your information from. And that is how you learn to be a woman, how you learn to be a man, how you learn to be a mother, how you learn to be, you know, a good wife. You learn to be a strong man. You learn to take care of things. I don't know. And so this whole new technology has opened up gateways and supposedly, let's hopefully, you know, use these mediums to liberate ourselves from the dominant culture's images and stuff. But it's not, it kind of hasn't gone that way yet. I think people are still mimicking the stuff that they see in popular culture, which is kind of a bummer, you know, because like, why when we take our selfies, why is the duck lips? Everyone takes the same selfie, you know, more or less. Everybody posts the same shit on Facebook and Instagram. Everyone's doing the same shit. On the other hand, you know, hey, what a fucking cool time that you can put up anything you want. If you want to make music, you can make music. Put that shit up on the internet. You want to write whatever, put it up. You can put anything up and anybody can see it and it can unite millions of people, which is so fucking cool. Patti Smith. Okay, so here's Patti Smith. With her wonderful New York accent. I love this old school East Coast. She's so East Coast. It's so harsh, but so endearing. And she's so tough. And I love her. She wrote horses. And then I know she had a couple of kids and dipped out of out of music for a minute and then came back, unfortunately, once her husband passed away and she had to make a living again. She wrote some huge songs because the night, that is her as well. So she also dated in the 80s, in the late 70s, a guy named Robert Mapplethorpe. If you don't know who Robert Mapplethorpe is, try going to a bookstore and looking at his photos. I used to work in a bookstore called Bookstar in the summer of 1990. Was it six? I worked at a Bookstar in Woodland Hills in the San Fernando Valley. Probably one of my favorite crummy jobs to have, just because I love books and they give you sections. And my section was self-help. Hey now, ironic. And it's really hard to work in a bookstore because at the end of the night, like at 11 p.m., we would close and you have to reshelve all the books that every asshole in the universe pulls down off a shelf, reads for 2 seconds, and then just discards. And so you have to run around with like a stack of 50 books and just frantically restock. You have to vacuum. You have to clean up the toilets. And summertime in the San Fernando Valley, it's notoriously torturous. It's, you know, like 120, just oppressive valley heat. And it's so oppressive because the hills surrounding the San Fernando Valley kind of lock in that heat. And it's like an oven. And it's just torture. And if you don't have an awesome air conditioning system, what do? You go to the mall, you go to the movies. Now you go to a Starbucks. Back then, Starbucks was just coming around. But you go to Bookstar. And you sit in my bookstore all day long and you read books. And you sit in the window ledge and bring your coffee in and take your shits at my store because you're there all day. And then you read my books and you fuck up my life. Yeah, the bookstore that I worked at. Why did I even bring this one up? Fuck. Oh, Mapplethorpe. So there were a few books that summer that were huge hits. Pat Conroy's Beach Music, The Celestine Prophecy, Chicken Soup for the Soul, and then my two favorite books. I mean, these two gave me such a kick when I was working at the bookstore, was The Anarchist Cookbook, because that was kept in a plastic wrap, was not allowed to be unwrapped, and it was kept behind the counter. And you had to specially request it to view it, and you had to be over 18, and I had to check your ID and make sure that you could view the Anarchist Cookbook because it taught you how to make some kind of explosives. It was a very subversive book for the children. And then there was the Mapplethorpe book. Oh, the Robert Mapplethorpe book. Now, impressionable young Christina P., I was maybe 19 years old. I'd lived a year in San Francisco. It was my first year. I'd been to the Exotic Erotic Ball. I had been to the Folsom Street Fair. I had seen dudes fucking in the street. I had seen a man in a pink leotard riding a unicycle down Haight Street. I'd seen homeless dudes masturbating. I'd seen a lot. And then I saw Robert Mapplethorpe. Google image search that, or just go to the bookstore and see if they'll let you look at his artwork, his photographs. So he's a photographer from the late 70s and the 80s. And he did portraits, notably of Patti Smith, because the two of them were romantically linked, and became the very famous photo that's on Horses, the album cover Mapplethorpe took as well. You know, he did a bunch of portraits of famous people. But what he's really famous for is a lot of dick pics. And not just white dicks, big black cocks, like really, you know, threatening the establishment, the fear of the black man's penis. And so, you know, there's like photographs of a man in a suit with his big black dong hanging out. And then there's varsity level Mapplethorpe. That's like JV, squad, okay, a few dicks. And then there's, you know, dildos and buttholes and fists and assholes and leather cock and balls being tortured and all these fun things that you have to be over 18 to see in a bookstore. But for the time, very subversive, very cool, very threatening to the establishment. And so in a weird serendipitous, right, Jungian synchronistic thing, in this hiatus that I took a break from life for a few days, and my husband and I, we did things like go to McDonald's and get a sundae, and we went to the Getty, which is stunning. If you visit Los Angeles, I recommend you go see the Getty Museum. And it's not just a museum, it's in the hills in the Santa Monica Mountains here. And it's a gorgeous, you know, architectural marvel. And there's garden and lawns and tourists. And you can have lunch there, you can drink alcohol there. It's just, it's a wonderful place. And as we're walking up, whose exhibit is there? Robert Mapplethorpe. And as I mentioned, I'm into Patti Smith this week, and she and Mapplethorpe are romantically linked, and he took the album cover photo for Horses, and I thought, this is crazy, man, that, wow, we gotta go, I gotta go see Mapplethorpe, you know? And of course, the Getty, they had the famous portraits that he did, a couple of dongs, you know, like a few black dongs, but no, where's the fisting? Mapplethorpe, where's the fun stuff, Getty? Where are the cock and ball torture pics? Show me some old school cock and ball torture. They didn't have the real art. You know what I mean? They had the kid friendly version of Mapplethorpe. But anyway, yeah. So Mapplethorpe, big gay guy in the 80s. He ended up being a gay dude, and unfortunately died of AIDS. But his work is really cool. And now here's the thing. It got me to thinking, because I'd never really read about him. And there's this one piece, installation, whatever the hell they're called, where he had photographed all the art gallery dealers in New York City at the time, like the hot shit ones. And he put them together, and that was the work. And my husband was like, wow, that's really brilliant. You know, not just artistically, but kind of politically, right? Like, isn't that the way to do it, where you take a picture and you flatter the person who you want to give you an art installation or an art, whatever. What the fuck is it called when you put your artwork in the gallery? You flatter the art gallery owner, and therefore you get your work in there. And we were reading more about Mapplethorpe, and it said that his main objective was fame. He was very into fame, wanting fame. And that was the ultimate goal here. And it really got me to thinking, like, wow, how many artists have I idolized? How many people, successful artists in every area, have I been like, wow, this person's so beyond anything I can do? Or wow, they must be the most talented in their field, and that's why they are revered and remembered. And not so much. And if you read a lot about really successful people, like P.T. Barnum was the master of bullshit, of getting people interested in what he was doing, creating spectacles, creating scenes, getting attention. And not to discredit Mapplethorpe's work, because it is a maze and he's super talented. So are many other photographers that I'm friends with that you're like, God, I really, why isn't that guy in the museum? And then it got me to thinking that we are all Mapplethorpes. We all fist black dudes together, in a sense. And what separates you from them? Talent sometimes, yeah, absolutely, there needs to be talent, but also belief in oneself and pushing your agenda on other people, imposing your will, flattering, you know what I mean? Like all that stuff that goes into being successful. It isn't just talent. So and I only say this, if you're listening and you're thinking, oh, I could, you know, why start taking photographs? I'll never be a Mapplethorpe, or I shouldn't paint because I'll never be a George O'Keefe, or I'll never be as famous as blah, blah, blah. Bullshit. Bullshit. Because you can be. And these people were just people. people very driven to be noticed and very focused on being noticed. Not all, but some. And it was so interesting with Mapplethorpe. It even said, like, he gave himself this pompadour 50s haircut, a hairdo, and he wore like a greaser 50s jacket. Like, it was a very intentional manipulation of his image to get attention. Again, this idea of inventing the self, of projecting who it is you think you are and who you want to be. And tangentially, Andy Warhol's mentioned in all of this because, you know, they're in New York City at the same time. And Warhol was possibly the best spinner of this art nonsense, where he said himself, everybody has their 15 minutes of fame. He invented this idea that anything and everything can be exploited to be famous if given the right spin, right? So if you look at the Campbell soup can, the idea being that it's an everyday American object, right? Everybody is familiar with that soup can, but Andy Warhol took it. He made it look a little special, a little fantastic. He marketed it essentially, and people went, holy shit, I've never seen the soup can like that before. And then it becomes art, right? Because Andy Warhol is perceived as cool. He's got a funky haircut. He's a big weirdo, and everyone gets interested in him. Yeah. I don't know a ton about the art world. I know very little. I know, this documentary called Exit Through the Gift Shop, that is, I think it's on Netflix now. Yes. About Banksy, this, you know, graffiti street artist. Is he graffiti? I don't know. He's a street artist. And this other guy called Mr. Brainwash, I think is his name. And it's a really great documentary illuminating this exact point that I'm making about, you know, what is art? Who gets to make art? Is it the person whose sheer force of will makes it happen? Because there are artists like Jeff Koons who he outsources the production of his artwork. Jeff Koons, I'm sure you've seen his stuff. You've seen the balloon animal, like the balloon animal dog that's enormous and made of, like, I think aluminum, and it's super shiny. That's Jeff Koons. And people have beef with him because he mass produces his artwork and he doesn't actually make it. He just has like a factory full of people making his art. And then, you know, he was a great marketing person too, and he had it. He just was smart about how he did it. God, I'm so glad I'm not an artist, because that is one industry that is 1,000% bullshit driven. You know, there's like 10 people that decide what's art, right? The people that own the Getty or that own these galleries. And then the American public goes, no, I guess that's art, right? I don't fucking know. Listen, your mom's house gets submitted artwork every week that I'm blown away by, you know, but hey, their name's not Jeff Koons. Their name isn't Mapplethorpe. You gotta have the right name. You have to write the right image to go under it. So don't let this shit discourage you, is what I'm saying. Don't you dare think that you shouldn't start something or be creative because you think you'll never be as successful as so-and-so. Because there's a lot of forces that are unseen that go into someone else's success. You never, 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 never know. Again, not to discredit the people that do shit, but there you go. So that's kind of in line with the idea that I had about inventing the self. And when you look at these people, and this is kind of in line with what this person just emailed me this morning, self-love, how girls are constantly comparing and putting themselves down. Well, let's change it to all people, not just girls, right? You look at yourself, you look at your neighbor. I'm never going to be as successful as Mapplethorpe, you think, as you're the photographer. Or you look and you, the thing is, no one's fucking portraying themselves as who they are anyways. Right? The pompadour, the jacket, the Facebook status. You don't know. You know, you got no fucking idea what goes on in people's real lives. The image is very different than what happens on the inside. I guarantee you that. And the longer I live, the more I know. You know, most of us are living the same misery. Most of us are suffering the same stuff. You know, it doesn't matter what color you are, what orientation sexually, you're non-binary, you're, you know, trans whatever, you're, you're black, you're white, you're red, you're blue. It doesn't fucking matter, okay? We're all going through this life the same way, the same fucking misery. Anyways, Patti Smith. Okay. Exit Through the Gift Shop. Check that out. Hold on. I had some notes. Oh, okay. So, yeah, man. Small on the side note about not letting... how not to compare yourself to other women or what the fuck. First of all, don't feed the machine. And by that, I mean, don't take the selfies that everyone's taking. Don't do the duck lips and don't throw your hat in the ring of bullshit. that's kind of one way I've opted out. You know, because I'm a woman, I'm going to be 40 in June. You know, God, that's tantamount to a death sentence in LA. I may as well just go ahead and fucking bury myself. If I listen to them, if I listen to society, if I listen to everybody that, the pressures to be, you know, perfect and be skinny and have tons of Botox and filler, and I should be fit. I should be happy. I should be on Prozac. I should be perfect. I can't do it. And so I choose to opt out. I'm not looking. I don't look. I don't look at the magazines. I don't look at shit that makes me feel bad about myself. I don't look at gossip magazines at the supermarket checkout. I don't do it. I don't look at celebrity stuff because it makes me feel bad. it just doesn't feel good. I opt out. And I invite you to opt out too. I invite you to not, just don't compare yourself. Don't fucking look at it. I feel so much better about myself when I'm not looking at Jennifer Aniston or Kate Hudson's ass. Trust me. Especially someone that's had a kid. Get the fuck out of here. I'm not looking at other bitches that have had kids that look, you know, amazing right now. I can't do that. If I look there, I'm going to lose perspective on what I'm doing. I can't. And you got to look at yourself for the amazing miracle that you are. I know I've said this before. You, the unlikeliness of your birth is amazing to begin with. The fact that you out of the millions of eggs and sperm that came together, you came about. That in and of itself, the gift of a human birth, right? You could have come to Earth as a caterpillar, as a monkey, as a cow, but you didn't. You came as a human. And you've only got so long here, so don't worry. It goes by so fast anyways. You don't have to hate yourself through it all. You know what I mean? Because I had this epiphany a while back where, I don't know, I think it was my mom being dead, where I was like, wow, nobody's here to criticize me anymore. Nobody's here to make me feel like shit all the time. Why do I feel like shit? Oh, because of my internal dialogue, because of my self-parenting, the hateful voice that I've instilled criticizes me. I'm doing it now. My mom doesn't have to do it. I've done it for her. And I had this epiphany the other day where I was like, wait, why am I criticizing what I'm doing? And why can't I look in the mirror without automatically having the, you know, that repulsive, especially because I've just made a person come out of me. How miraculous is my human body? How miraculous are these hanging tits and flappy vagina? It's amazing. It's amazing. I did that. And I have a whole new respect for my form. Is as blobular as it is right now, it's where it is. But what if I just didn't, what if I had this thought of like, what if I just stopped criticizing? What would happen to me? What if for fucking once I stopped hating every thought I had and judged everything I did and just enjoyed being me, right? What would happen, dear writer, dear emailer, if you just stopped and fucking enjoyed your life, enjoyed yourself, enjoyed being wherever you're at? Because that's really all you can do, right? You can't change everything all the time. Oh, what if? And so that's kind of been my mantra lately, is to kind of enjoy where I'm at. Oh no, my computer just took a shit. Here, let me try restarting it as I'm talking to you. Good luck, right? Let's see what happens. But yeah, I mean, what is the point of beating yourself up? But right, I mean, what if you just stopped? That's a crazy idea. And it's totally possible. It's totally possible for you to control your thoughts about things. Anyways, I've been doing that a lot lately, where instead of just allowing the horrible thought that I have about me or what I'm doing, I just accept it. I just go, oh, but that's who I am. That's what I'm doing. And I accept it. It's kind of been nice. It's really been freeing for me. And also, if you're a young person and you're like, I totally get it, dude. It's so hard to not compare yourself to other women, to celebrities, to people that make you feel like shit, basically. I implore you to look in our history. First of all, looks and what's considered beautiful changes over time. Look at the Renaissance. You could be fat back then. Look at the 70s, where people were anorexically thin, in the 80s. And then look at now, which you have to have huge, perfect D tits and look like a Barbie doll. It all changes and it'll fluctuate and your body type will come around eventually. But I implore you to also look at the past. Look at pictures of people when they were people. Google things from 30, 40, 50 years ago. Google the people that were famous then to give you perspective. Google people like Patti Smith, whose teeth are jacked up and who don't wear makeup. Look at before plastic surgery, what people look like, to give you some perspective. Because I know if you're really young, you don't remember a time when people looked like people, but it wasn't that long ago. And it's fucked up because people like a Patti Smith can't really exist today, or the Ramones. Look how ugly the Ramones were. Jesus Christ. Or Prince, for that matter, would never exist today. Janis Joplin never would exist today. Oh. There's my computer restarting. That's Skype. And you know how to not compare yourself to others? Fucking don't do it.
Thousandth heaven.
There's Patti Smith talking again. Great. Don't do it. Don't do it. Ignore it. You have every way to ignore it. I swear to God. Wayne Dyer, the guy that just died, who wrote Your Erroneous Zones and a million other books, wrote to go against the good opinion of others. I love that idea. And you can. It is just that simple, of going against the good opinion of other people and starting your own Instagram aesthetic. Take unflattering selfies and put it up to support other people who aren't perfect. What I like to do as well is I like to criticize men and their appearances. When I hear men doing it around me, if we're watching television and some dude is like, that chick's not hot, I love to point out who's not hot in the male categories. I do it constantly. I think it's fun. I think we should be equal opportunity criticizers of people's appearances. So there you go. Hate everybody. That's my advice to you. Opt out. Drop out, bros. Tune in. Turn on. Drop the fuck out. Make your own dance, right? Because you can. You absolutely can. The media is not controlled anymore. It is, but now there's other outlets. You don't even have to buy cable anymore. You don't have to. You can opt out. You can create your own world. And I'm going to do it. Patti Smith said technology democratized art. Everyone can do it. Everyone has access. The possibilities are endless. Do you realize we can overthrow governments now? We can do it all because we're united by technology. Power to the people, hippies. Power to the people. I love it. That's it. That's all I got for you, bros. I'm going to go back to my Sunday. I wasn't going to record this today, but my husband, I was going to go take a nap while the kid sleeps. And I laid down next to him and he was snoring. And I wanted to punch him mercilessly until he died in sleep. And then I thought I could do that, or I could record That's Deep, Bro. I'm glad I chose this alternative. But I'm going to go downstairs now. I'm going to make myself a nice frozen pizza. You know what? This week, when I took my hiatus, I also realized how much I love shitty processed latchkey kid foods. I love Salisbury steak. God, I love shitty macaroni and cheese that comes with it, like the lean cuisine. I love frozen pizzas. Mama Celeste, ugh, with the weird chunks of meat. I just fucking, the supreme version, I love it. I love, they don't make them anymore, but they used to make hot dogs with the chili injected in them already. That was amazing. Kraft macaroni and cheese. Yep. Old school, all the time. I don't even put milk in it. That's how poor we were. I grew up, we never had milk, so I just made it with butter and water and powder. Shit is delicious, man. Love it. Love it. Love it. Kraft shaky cheese, ramen noodles, but mostly frozen dinners. I really have an affinity for disgusting frozen dinners and like canned foods. And I know it's from living with my dad for, you know, those weekend dad times, because he didn't cook. And I would just live off of Chef Boyardee stuff and Budget Gourmet frozen dinners. Ugh, I don't even think Budget Gourmet exists anymore. I don't know. But oh, there's something just like, it's just like home. I eat it and I feel like I'm back in childhood. No, you know what's the best? I take it back. The French bread pizza. Oh, get your life. The Stouffer's French bread pizza, any flavor, hot as fuck in the middle. You burn your mouth because you can't wait for it to cool down. It's so good. It's so good. So crunchy. Oh, I'm starving. Okay. So have a great week, bros. It's been deep. And listen, man, if Patti Smith can do her thing, if she can put her fist in the air and be free, you can too. Fuck it. Fuck it. Stick it to the man. Blow it up. Throw a brick in the fucking windshield. Don't listen to them. You do you. You love you. And fuck the world. Thank you very much. Okay. I love you guys. That's been, it's been deep, and we'll talk again next week. Okay. I love you. Goodbye.
Now what? I don't know. Philosophize with.
It's Christina P, aka Miss Jeans. This ain't your mom's house, it's a different theme. Gotta be critically thinking. Like you caught up at a cocktail party, our thoughts start to sink in. John Locke, or was it Socrates? Aristotle or Plato, maybe Hippocrates. Got us talking all properly, topically. Just a comedian discussing these philosophies. Serious questions, silly people. What's that? That's deep, bro.
It is the ultimate metaphor for life. And you know what that is?
What?
That's deep, bro. That's deep, bro. That's deep, bro.